Well, tonight we're going to be in Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40. A woman opened her door one morning to find a stray dog sitting outside her front door with a newspaper at its paws. The woman looked at that dog with surprise and went and got a treat and praised the dog a little bit and shut the door. Next morning, she goes out to get her newspaper, and there's the same dog with 15 newspapers scattered around its feet. She spent the rest of her morning returning her newspaper to her neighbors. Dog had gone and got all the neighbors' newspapers from around the neighborhood. It's amazing what a little praise will do, isn't it? Psalm chapter 40 is a psalm written by David. We're just going to look at the first five verses of this passage. It's believed that this psalm was written after David's son Absalom had rebelled and had died, and how David has restored his kingdom. And it's believed that at that time that David has written this psalm. Give us a little background here. Let's go ahead and look at the Psalm 40, verse number 3. Psalm 40, verse number 3. The Bible says, "And he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord." As you read the Psalms, most of them are written by David, and it becomes very obvious rather quickly that David found his greatest fulfillment in giving praise to God. He was wrapped up in God. He was a man after God's own heart because he found fulfillment in God and in giving praise to God. Now, it makes me wonder, what do we find our fulfillment in tonight? What makes our clock tick? What makes us excited and makes us get up every morning? Do you find fulfillment in praising God tonight? Well, what is praise, first of all? What does praise mean? Well, the word, English word praise actually comes from the Latin. It means to proclaim one's merit or worth. To proclaim one's merit or worth. The word praise is actually used 132 times in the book of Psalms alone. 132 times. What's interesting, though, is that six different Hebrew words are used and translated as praise. The two most used words, though, are the two words halal and gadah. I did not study Hebrew, so I don't know much about Hebrew. I just know what the dictionary says and what Strong says. The most often used word, the first one, halal, gives us our word hallelujah. This word means to make a show or rave about, to glory or boast upon. Get this, to be clamorously foolish in your adoration of God. Hallelujah. The second word is yada, means to revere or worship with extended hand, as if bound before a king and asking and praising that king for who he is. These are the two most common words used for praise. You know, David knew a thing or two about receiving praise with him being a king himself. But David knew even better about how to praise God. What did David praise God for? Why could David praise God? Let's first look at this passage, the first five verses of this passage, and realize how and why David could praise God. First of all, David could praise God because of God's grace. Amazing grace. Look at verse number 1. The Bible says, "I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my goings." This word "waited patiently" is actually, in the Hebrew, it says "waiting, I waited." It's a Hebrew idiom. "Waiting, I waited." It's emphasis on waiting. David knew a lot about waiting himself. In fact, in the book of Psalms, 17 times David teaches us to praise the Lord. 17 times in the book of Psalms, he talks about waiting on the Lord. Waiting. No, I like Pastor Dan was saying, I can't wait to get to Cambodia. And I don't like waiting. I don't want to wait to go to Cambodia. I want to go tomorrow. If I could, I would. My heart's in Cambodia. I'm glad I'm here, but my heart's in Cambodia. You know, but why we wait, you know, God prepares us. And the waiting time is never a wasted time. And God is using our waiting times to prepare us for a greater work in the future. In Psalms chapter 52, verse 9, David says, "I will praise thee forever because thou hast done it. And I will wait on thy name, for it is good before thy saints." You see, why we wait, we can praise the Lord. God, I don't know what's going to happen. I don't know what the future holds, but I will still praise you in this moment. Psalms 27:4, wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thy heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. See, it's during those times of waiting that God strengthens our hearts, strengthens our back to bear the burden. There's going to be burdens ahead of us. There's going to be times, I know in Cambodia, where I'm going to have struggles. And God's even now preparing me to carry those burdens. There's also, I see, grace in hearing. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. The word inclined has the idea of bending over to listen. Brother Floyd, his son Josiah, likes to come to my office sometimes and just watch me. He doesn't say much, just kind of watches me. And he's my buddy, but sometimes he'll come up to me and he'll just tug on my pant leg. And he just says, Mr. Randy. What? Mr. Randy. You know what I have to do? I have to bend over and I say, what do you want, Josiah? That's the picture of what God does for us. He bends so low and listens to us. He bends, he inclines his ear to hear our cry. What an amazing thought, how low God has come to hear us. For those of you who may not be saved, God has come down. God has made a way of salvation through Jesus Christ. And today can be your day of salvation. Thinking about how low God came, even in Christmas season, coming down to a Bethlehem manger. God has come so low in hearing us. I hope you can praise God. Maybe not even the fact that he answers your prayer, gives you what you want, but the fact that he even hears you. We can praise God for that fact. I see there's grace also in rescuing. Look at verse 2. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. He brought me up out of a horrible pit. The idea is maybe an empty well or a deep hole in the ground where he could not get out of. David saw that, hey, his position was hopeless. He was stuck in miry clay where he could not get out himself. Have you ever fallen into a pond before? It has steep sides. I had to go fishing when I was a little boy with my dad, and I fell in a pond once or twice. And I wasn't in danger of drowning, but trying to get out, I couldn't get out because the side was, all wet with mud. And as much as you keep trying, you keep clawing, trying to get out, you keep slipping back into the pond, David's experiencing the same effect. God, I was in a horrible pit, stuck in miry clay. See, tonight, folks, our sin separates us from God. And there's no way you can get out of this sin, this mess of sin yourself. Sin requires a penalty, and you can't save yourself. For by grace are you saved through faith, not of yourself, it's the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. It takes somebody coming down to the pond's edge to reach out a hand and pull you up. That's what Christ did for us. He came to us. He came to me when I couldn't come to him. See, religion is man's way of trying to get to God. Christianity is God's coming down to man. God has come to us and taken us out of that horrible pit. Look where he was brought to. He was founded. He set my feet upon a rock. The idea of a rock is a founded fortress. He set me. It means to stand uprightly, firmly planted. He set my feet upon a rock. We have a strong rock that we stand on. Christ, the foundation of the church. Christ said, I will build my church upon this rock. Speaking of himself. See, my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ. Though others fail, Christ stands. And we have a firm foundation in Christ. Look, this is really exciting. Look at the next part. He set my feet upon a rock and established my goings. Established means firmly prepared and made ready. He firmly prepared and made my goings ready. Now, goings here also carries the idea of a heading, a direction, or a way. God took David out of this horrible pit, set his feet upon a rock, and established, prepared his direction, his heading, where he was going. He gave him purpose. God gave David a purpose for living, a reason why to live. Maybe you're here tonight and say, man, I don't know. I go to work every day. I just don't have any purpose for living. What's the point of this whole thing? When you're saved, God gives you a grand purpose. And that's to praise him. See, that's why David could find such fulfillment in praising God, because God had established his goings. God has saved us from a life without hope and given us a life full of meaning and purpose. We can praise God for His grace. David could praise God for His grace. And for also, he could praise God because of His gift. Look at verse number 3. And He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it in fear and shall trust in the Lord. Verse 4. Blessed is that man that maketh the Lord his trust and respecteth not the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. See, if you firstly see the gift of a new song, He has put a new song in my mouth. The word new speaks of unique, fresh. He had a unique song. In 1777, the U.S. flag was first conceived and made. That flag was to represent a new country that had been founded. It was to represent a new army that was fighting a war of independence. That flag stood was representation of a new country, of a new direction, of a new desire, a new heading for a new area, a new country. In the same way as a flag represents a new change, our new song should reflect a fresh, fundamental change in our heart. That new song that's in our heart should be a reflection of a new change. When you are saved, you've been given a new nature. The old things have passed away, but all things have become new. You have a new nature within you if you're saved tonight. And that new nature should produce a new song. A unique song. Music is the language of emotions. Have you ever walked through a mall or some kind of shopping center? And you're just walking around, it's not doing really anything. And you notice there's music playing. And you realize you're walking to the beat of the music. Have you ever done that before? I know I have. You don't even know the song. Never heard it before in my life. But what? Music has a lot of power, doesn't it? It has a lot of power. It's the language of the emotion. Your song is a reflection of your heart. What song are we singing tonight? What song is continually on your lips? Is it a new, fresh, unique song? Or is it a song that's a reflection of the old man? There should be a uniqueness in our song. The song had a different purpose. He has put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. This word praise, actually, it's a noun. It comes from the word halal, which means hallelujah. But it's a noun. It means the song of hallelujah. Praise means a song of hallelujah. Again, it means to rave or glory of those who put the song. This praise is a song of praising, a song of wanting to rave or glory or boast in his God. David had a desire to just go crazy about his God and rave and boast and to say how good God was to him. And if you've been around the teens at all, there's this word that they like to use. Now, after I say it, they're probably never going to use it again. Because some guy preaching said the word, so they're going to throw it out. But the word is raging. They know it, see? Raging. He's raging. Have you guys heard that, the teachers? My understanding is this word raging means he's going berserk, bananas, or he's going nuts. Is that the general idea, guys? Yes? Okay, good. You know what? God wants us to rage about Him. God wants us to go bananas about how good He is. Man, God's going to hell, but you set my feet on our... Man, God, doesn't make sense. You saved me. And you only saved me from hell. You gave me direction. It doesn't make sense, God. I don't deserve to have this grace shower on me. I don't deserve to have a head. I don't deserve to have purpose. You could have made me a slave to you. It's still been better than hell. Man, God, you're so good to me. The song was for a different audience. Notice, he put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. He didn't say my God, he said our God. You see, David had put a great value on corporate worship. Praise unto our God. David valued corporate praise. It's praising the Lord together as a congregation. When I first went to Cambodia, my parents were missionaries there. I went there at the age of 17. Now, for the first 3 months, we were in a Cambodian church, and obviously they sing Cambodian songs. And I didn't understand a word. So for 3 months, I didn't get to sing in English in church together. They sang songs I recognized, but I didn't know the words. I couldn't sing the words with them. I didn't know the language. And it was funny, though, after three months, we had an English service. A bunch of all the missionaries there in the area got together, had a service in English. And I remember the first song they sang. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands hath made. I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, thy power throughout the universe displayed. And when we got to the chorus, I couldn't help myself. I was shouting and I started crying. And I'm not normally a crying guy in, you know, congregational singing. I'm not. But I have been so long since I've been able to do it. It's been so long since I've been able to praise God corporately with a body of believers. There's great value in singing. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. When you come to church, do you have a desire to sing, or are you just waiting for the get to the heart of the meal? You just realize that the whole service is not just about preaching, that singing is part of this worship service. Now, we know when we come here, we should be praising throughout the whole week. Our praising should be going on throughout the whole week. And when we get here, we should be saying, man, when's this service going to start? I got to get praising God with you all. Man, let's hurry up, Pastor. We got to start praising. We should be looking at our watches in anticipation, excited for the opportunity to praise God together. You know, when you stand there and just kind of mouth the words, you know your children see that. And your grandchildren see that. And they see, well, my dad isn't singing. I don't need to sing. Well, see, I just can't sing very well. I understand. But it's not about that. To make a joyful noise. We can all make a pretty good noise. I've never met anyone who couldn't make a good noise. It's all about praising God. It's not about me or those around me. It's about praising God for who He is. So we can praise God for that new song. We can praise God for the gift of a new testimony. He hath put a new song in thy mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it. Now, this is a little strange. Many shall see it. You don't see music. You hear music, don't you? When you sing, the first thing you do, you hear music. But David didn't say, many shall hear it. David says, many shall see it. Back to what I was saying earlier. Do people see you praising God? The man who saw, see means to look and, you know, see someone. David's countenance changed when he was praising God. There should be a visible difference on our face when we praise God. And sing my song, my Savior. We don't do that. Your countenance reflects your heart, is what I'm trying to say. And there should be a visible difference. People should be able to see a changed heart on your face when you praise God. Then also, I see that David's praise preached. Many shall fear and shall trust in the Lord. When David praised, people saw it and they took note. And what was their reaction? They reverenced God. And they feared God. And they turned and put their trust in the Lord. You see, when we praise, our praise is part of our testimony. That God, no, people need to see you praise. Let me ask you this, sir. If at work tomorrow or even today, if you were to start just talking about how good God is to you around the water cooler, how would your friends at work react? Would they be curious about it, or they, oh, what's wrong with you? Start walking away. And we need to be the same person in church that we are at work, praising God all the time. David could praise because of God's grace, God's gifts. Finally, David could praise because of God's greatness. Look at verse number 5. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done, and thy thoughts which are to usward. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. David just took a moment to think about how good God is to him. wonderful, has the idea of marvelous, extraordinary. Many, O Lord, my God, are thy wonderful, extraordinary, surpassing works which thou hast done. David recognized all that God had done for him. When's the last time you've just taken a moment just to think and remember all that God's done for you and how good God's been in your life? We've heard some great testimonies tonight about people who have gone going through hard times, yet they were able to thank God for family and for a church family and thank God for His grace. It's amazing how a trial forces us to think about where we are and where our standing is with God. It's so fun. Often, though, we forget about all God's done for us. We think that, you know, I've done most of this myself. God has helped, but for the most part, it's been all me. Have you ever seen that TV commercial? There's this dog. He's in a house. It's a security commercial. So there's cameras on the house, and these people are watching on their smartphone, and they see that, you know, they see the little dog in the house, and there's a raccoon outside, and so they turn the light on, and that dog gets all excited that a raccoon left because of him. And then the dog runs away to another part of the room, and he barks, and the light comes on, and that dog's all happy. Wow, look what I did. I turned on the lights. But all along, who was pushing the buttons? The owner of the home. See, we can think tonight that, hey, I've done pretty good. You know, I pulled myself up by my own bootstraps. But all along, it's God who's directing. It's God who's leading. God has given you those gifts, man, sir, teenager. You need to praise God for them. Many, O Lord my God, are thy wonderful works which thou hast done. And thy thoughts which are to us ward. David praised God for his great thoughts. Thoughts here is not only talking about thinking. You know, I have some good thoughts. It's more than that. Thoughts has the idea of plans or plots. Planning. God has wonderful ideas and plans for your life. That's what David's saying. Thy thoughts, which are to us, word. There's so many, God. All the plans, all the ways you want to bless me. God, you've already blessed me in more ways than I can number, but the way you want to keep blessing me is even more than I can number. See, God's not just some old aloof grandpa sitting in heaven who has nice thoughts about his grandkids. God is actively involved in each and every one of our lives. And He wants to bless us. And He wants to direct His children and to see that they become more like Christ. There was a faithful missionary about 150 years ago by the name of Alan Gardner. Alan Gardner was a missionary in several places, but in the last year of his life, he served in South America, on the island of Picton, on the southern tip of South America. In 1851, at the age of 57, Alan Gardner died from starvation and disease. The supply ship that was to bring his supplies for him to continue living there and serving as a missionary was held up because of weather, and he did not have the supplies and therefore died of starvation. When his body was found, it bore the record of hunger. When his body was found, they found a diary next to his body, and that diary bore the record of hunger, thirst, wounds, loneliness. And the last entry in that little book showed the struggle of his shaking hand as he tried to write legibly these words. I am overwhelmed with a sense of the goodness of God. At the last moment, at the doorstep of death, Alan Gardner could still say, God, your goodness overwhelms me. You know, we need to sit back and turn the TV off at some point. Turn off the internet. Turn off all the games and the handphones and the cell phones and the smartphones and the dumb phones. Turn them all off. And just sit back for a second. And let God's goodness overwhelm you. God, you're so good. God, you're so good. Psalms 139, verse 17 says, how precious also are thy thoughts unto me, O God. How great is the sum of them. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, Jeremiah 29:11 says. saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. He has great thoughts, and He's so good to us. And we have such a great opportunity to praise God freely, corporately together, even today, and on Thanksgiving, to praise God for who He is, for His goodness. And finally, David can praise God because of God's infinite greatness. Look at the last part of the verse. They cannot be reckoned up in order unto thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can be numbered. See, God is so great. I can't even categorize how good you've been. That's what the word reckoned up means. It means to put in order or categorize. God says, man, God, I'm just trying to put in air categories and headings all the ways you've blessed me, and I can't even add those up. I can't add them up. God, there's too many. God, all the things you've done for me, I can't categorize all the great things you've done for me. They are more than can be numbered. And God has been so good to us here in America, hasn't He? We're a blessed nation. As you travel in third world countries like Cambodia, you see extreme poverty. And when you come here, we're so blessed. We're just such a blessed nation. We are, really, really are. Even at our lowest, we're still better off than half the world, more. You know, but it's a sad truth that those who have the most to thank God for often are the ones who praise Him the least. I pray that wouldn't be true of us. If anyone who should have much to thank God for, it's us. Saved. Living in this free land of America, no matter its troubles. When's the last time, Christian, that in prayer you're praising God for who He was, and you have to stop because of lack of time rather than lack of material? You see, we should have to stop praying and praising God for lack of time, not lack of material. See, all the things God has done for us, we should be able to praise God all day long, never stopping. Now, in closing, we do have much to thank God for. We can thank God for His grace, for His gifts, and for His greatness. And one last thought before we close. Why is praise so important? Why is it that God wants us to praise Him? See, the matter of fact is, God doesn't want your praise because He needs it. God wants your praise because you need it. You need it. You need to praise God. Why do we need to praise God? You see, true praise strips us of all complaints and sorrows and burdens and cares of this world. And for a moment, we see God high and lifted up as being an eternal being in heaven who cares, and it leaves us standing in awestruck wonder at the beauty of His glory. And for that moment in time, all else, nothing else matters. It's all about God. True praise is to give us a small fraction of a taste of what heaven will be like. In heaven, praising is not all you will do. Okay, so you're not going to sit on a cloud and praise God all day long. But I guarantee you, it'll be all that you want to do when you get there. Let's just take a moment and imagine that first step into heaven's gates. As you walk down those golden streets, wearing your robes of white, and you come into His presence. That Shekinah glory of God Almighty, the self-existent, eternal, unchanging, Lord of hosts, everlasting God, Lord our righteousness, the Most High God, the Ancient of Days, Jehovah, the Almighty God, and you stand there in His presence. The One who created you, your Maker, your Sustainer. And for a split second you stand there breathless. And it's in that brief moment that this life will seem as if but a dream. And your soul will be filled with the knowledge that you were created for this very moment. It's at that moment that you will find true fulfillment as you fall on your knees and with all creation, with every angel, seraphim, every archangel, every creation in heaven will fall on its face before God and cry out, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For Thou hast created all things. For Thy pleasure they are, and were created. I am created for Your pleasure, God. And this is where I find my fulfillment in praising You because of who You are. Hallelujah, salvation and glory and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For all eternity, for millions upon millions and eons of years, we'll try to do the impossible. We'll try to contain in mere words and in mere song an infinite, limitless God. It's amazing what a little praise will do. Let's bow in prayer.